In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. It's funny how two babies from the same parents can be so different. When our Rachel was born, she was a very calm spirit. It took us a few days to realize she didn't want to be walked to sleep. She just wanted to be set down and go off to sleep on her own. When she got hungry and cried, the sound was something like this. And that was about the extent of it. And then Aaron was born. And Aaron came into the world energetic. She had trouble sleeping. She liked to yell and scream and carry on. We put on miles every night trying to get her down to sleep, walking her end to end of the house. The interesting thing is that even before they were born, inside of the womb, those personalities were totally obvious. You know, Rachel, I know Michelle could just push her from side to side, and she would just, you know, while she was inside, Aaron would kick her until she was crying. Even during delivery, she was kicking like crazy. They had personalities. They weren't just a life growing in mom. They were each individual persons with their own personalities that were there from the very beginning, that were there from conception. You know, today in the church in America, we celebrate the sanctity of life, the celebration of personhood, the celebration of the life of each person, the celebration of the value of each person as unique and created in the image of God. When we speak of pro-life in the church, we're not talking about a stance. We're talking about a vision. We're talking about a way of seeing the world. This is where the witness of the church rests. The value, the unmatched value of each person. There is no person, no matter how small, who does not have value in the eyes of God. We are blessed today to read a special gospel passage. Mary had just become pregnant with Jesus, and she goes to her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. Of course, we remember John the Baptist as an adult. What does he do? He not only baptizes Christ, not only baptizes the multitudes, but he also proclaims Christ. He says, "This is the Lamb of God that came into the world. This is the one who's coming after me, whose sandal I am not worthy to untie, let alone carry." So John's whole personality, his whole life goal, his whole life walk was to proclaim the Messiah. And John's personality was already present even as an unborn child. When Mary comes in just a few days pregnant with Jesus, John the Baptist, as prophet of God, recognizes the presence of the Messiah and leaps for joy inside Elizabeth's womb. And that's not just like a normal kicking, a normal baby flutter. Elizabeth knows her baby. She knows the normal movements. And she's like, whoa, this kid just jumped. This was something different from anything I've felt before. The personhood of the Savior, the personhood of his prophet, already clear even while in his mother's womb. And that person is sacred in both the eyes of God and his people. And of course, while the sanctity of life begins in the womb, it certainly doesn't end there. There's a children's book by Dr. Seuss called Horton Hears a Who. Fantastic book. Don't know if you remember this. It was made into both a TV special and I think later on into a movie. It's a little story about an elephant named Horton who finds a speck of dust on top of a clover flower. And the speck of dust starts speaking to him. And he realizes there's not only a little person, but a tiny city, a microcosmic city, on that speck of dust that's in danger of getting destroyed. So Horton goes around trying to protect it. And all the other animals, they think he's crazy because they can't hear the voice. But Horton, with his big elephant ears, can hear the voice. And there's a refrain in that story. It comes up, I don't know, 7 or 8 times. It says, "A person's a person, no matter how small." It's a wonderful phrase for the pro-life vision of the church, and it's obvious how it could apply to an unborn child. But the interesting thing is Dr. Seuss did not write this specifically about unborn children. The story was written shortly after the close of World War II. Dr. Seuss had been a very anti-Japanese sentiment during the course of the war. But he went and visited Hiroshima. He went and visited the place where the first atomic bomb was dropped, and it changed his perspective immediately. The story was addressing his own anti-Japanese racism. And in the refrain, a person's a person no matter how small, small referred not to the size of a human being physically, it meant to how we think of them. A person is a person no matter how irrelevant. A person is a person no matter how looked down on. A person is a person no matter how small in the eyes of the world. And really, I think Horton's phrase summarizes God's view of his people. A person is a person no matter how small. For us as church, pro-life does not just refer to unborn children. Pro-life includes their mothers, absolutely. Pro-life includes the fathers. Pro-life includes the vulnerable in society, whether the handicapped, the elderly, those suffering from mental illness. Pro-life includes the ghettos of our inner cities, even if the person is a different race or religion as myself. Pro-life includes people in third world countries I'll never meet. If we want to look closer to home, one of the biggest silent crimes in Western Wisconsin is domestic violence. If we are truly pro-life, that will matter to us. And yes, pro-life values the personhood of every unborn child. Whoever society sees as small or less relevant, these are persons in the eyes of God valued beyond our understanding. You know, today in the church in America, we celebrate the sanctity of life. Celebration of life and the value of each person as unique and created in the image of God. Because, after all, a person's a person, no matter how small. Amen.